Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 3. How many of you guys want to see something in the Word tonight that revolutionizes things for you? That changes things for you, that affects you, okay? You guys that are relatively new here, we put a premium on God's word, on God's promise. Premium, okay? If somebody comes up to me and says, hey, Pastor, God told me or God showed me, or I'm great with all that. I'm great with even that vernacular. You just need to back it up in the word. I just need to see, the word is the rock that I live my life on. Anybody else like that? Huh? Write that down. The word is the rock that I live my life on, okay? If that's the case, whether you're on a peak or whether you're in a valley, both of those places are difficult places to be in the natural if there's a storm, okay? But no matter what, if you're in a peak or a valley, just so the foundation of your life is the rock of Christ Jesus. But listen to this. Here in Ephesians, the third chapter in the first verse, Paul writes, and he says this. He says, for this reason, I, Paul, okay? So he's making himself known. He's not Saul of Tarsus anymore. He's saying, I'm Paul. I'm the new creation in Christ, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. I want you to stop right there, and I want you to write these words down, okay? The prisoner, I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus for you. A prisoner of Christ Jesus for you. You might be here and you might be a school teacher. You might be here and you might be a lawyer. You might be here and you might be a pipe fitter. You might be here and you might be a bartender. You might be whatever you are, okay? The idea of this is that we're all prisoners now. And see, and what's interesting is they've got college degrees now. There's people that make so much money teaching people how to be entrepreneurs and how to have an entrepreneurial attitude about life. And I think that's great about life, but that's not how the kingdom works for us. The kingdom, everything in the kingdom operates by authority. And what's amazing is that authority comes from God. So when we look at our lives and we think, wait a second, man, I'd like to go do this. I'd like to, no, you know what? Man, the Bible says that we submit ourselves to one another. You know, it's interesting because I was talking to a pastor here today from Houston. He's got a great church. And we were talking, and he was talking about this revelation he had about Elijah and Elisha. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I said, here's the problem. The problem is that previous generations, like my dad's generation, he's 85 years old, okay? What you did, the career that as a young adult man, that you embarked on a career, that's what you did for life. For the rest of your life, that's what you did. I remember my dad, he worked for Western Auto Supply Company, and you young guys probably have never heard of that. You old guys have probably, oh yeah, I remember Western Auto. You probably bought a bike there, or maybe a saw there, or a red wagon there, or something from how many guys have bought something like that from the Western Auto? Anybody in here, okay? That means you're old, all right? So there was no Walmart there. I mean, Sears was just starting to develop, and there wasn't even Sears in, it was Sears Roebuck, But anyway, my dad worked for Western Auto for like 40 years. Well, a man that he worked with as the vice president of Western Auto Supply Company in Kansas City moved to they put windshields in cars, whatever it was, okay? But let's just call it Interstate. It wasn't that, but it's a big glass company. But he called my dad and he offered him a job, and my dad turned him down. And he called again and offered him another job. My dad turned it down again. He called a third time and offered my dad a job. My dad took it, and my dad said, "Okay, I'll take it, and I'm not moving to Columbus, Ohio. You're going to fly me home every Friday and fly me back there every Monday morning from Kansas City." Okay, when he took that job, he called me. And he got emotional about it. He got weepy about it. And he said, "I got to tell you, I'm leaving Western Auto." I was like, "Oh, great, what do you got going on?" He goes, "No, son, I'm I'm sorry, I'm leaving Western Auto. I'm like, I got no stock in Western Auto. Man, you got to, he goes, no, they made me an offer that, man, it was just, it'll set me up for retirement for the rest of my life. I said, Dad, take it and run. That's what you work for. He said, yeah, I know, but, you know, I made a commitment as a young man to that company. You know, and now today, okay, that was just a couple generations ago. The generation of young man today, the average will be 7 careers he'll have in his adult life. 7. I mean, nobody's crying going, man, I feel like I'm letting you down because I'm leaving this company that I've given my whole adult life for. It's that we've lost that. But listen, the kingdom still operates that way. So Elijah and Elisha couldn't just glean from 7 different father leaders in his life. It was Elijah or nothing. And see, we have to understand now that in this, there's an aspect of this that I'm not sure it's easy to teach or preach. But Paul said, I, Paul, as a prisoner of Christ Jesus for you. And then he said the word that was just is so difficult. He said, Gentiles. I mean, it's like unworthy, not worth the effort. Not we're not mixing, we're not communicating. None of this is going to be geared to you. Do you understand in the early church what the division in the early church just about reaching Gentiles? And here Paul was, and let me just tell you something. Paul was such an incredible leader, they couldn't hold him back. Man, where James got up and toward the end of the book of Acts, and he got up and he said, hey, listen, we're not saddling these Gentiles with circumcision, man. They're saved just like us. They're spirit-filled just like us. There's miracles being produced in their lives just like us. They're brothers with us. But see, we look at our lives. If I was good enough at this, I would stop at this verse right here and just say, look, we're prisoners of Christ for you. See, there's nothing about this that's consumerism for us. There's nothing entrepreneurial. As free as we are in Jesus, as much as we can say, man, God gives us the desires of our heart. Listen, we've got to look at everything through that lens that we're prisoners of Christ. Man, I'm a prisoner of God's promise now. I'm a prisoner of the anointed one. But listen, so effectively it's a dictatorship. It's just not a dictatorship like the dictatorships we see in the world. See, this is a benevolent dictatorship. Instead of that dictator, the dictators in the world want to control your life, want to get all your stuff. See, but the kingdom, God's a benevolent dictator. What he wants to do, he wants to give you control of your life, and he wants to give you all his stuff. See, that's how this works. But see, we can't, but we also can't kind of lay back on the language that Paul uses here, where he says, look, I'm a prisoner to this. I can't get out of this. You know what he'd say? And then so many times, so many things that he would say, he said, woe be unto me if I don't preach this gospel. See, preaching the gospel, writing letters to these churches, starting churches, man, the issues that he faced in life, the storms that hit his life, he had no opportunity. There was nothing that he could opt out. See, but we have got, I've got so many friends. Man, if I didn't, friends in ministry, they'd say, man, if I didn't do this, man, I think I could go and do this, or I could go and do this. And it's like, man, I leave those conversations most of the time thinking, I got nothing else. I've painted myself in a corner. This doesn't work. We're cooked. And see, but there's also, there's an assurity to this. If indeed you've heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. See, look at verse 1. He said, look, I'm a prisoner. I'm a prisoner of Christ for you. Verse 2, he says this, God has graced me for this. And see, and that's where the key is. See, the key to the desires of our heart, where the Bible says that if we delight ourselves in him, he'll give us the desires of our heart. That the desires of our heart, now listen, is where the grace is. Why? Because we've delighted ourselves in him. And what does that do? That opens a door for us. But see, you understand that everything in the kingdom operates by authority. And it all works on this one simple statement that my life's not my own anymore. I have been bought. I'm a bond slave, a bond servant to Jesus. You see, on one hand, we look at this life as so liberating. There's so much freedom in this life. But listen, it's a freedom from what? It's not a freedom from God. It's not a freedom from the authority that God that operates in our life. It's a freedom from the world, the sin in the world. It's a freedom from falling prey to temptation. It's a free freedom. It's not a freedom, listen, it's not a freedom from persecution. See, in this life that we live, where there's still, man, you live this life right, man, there's gonna be persecution in your life. Man, I can't tell you the hundreds of conversations Sandy and I've had. It's like, oh my gosh, there's people, man, when I met them, they were drug addicts and their marriage was in the toilet. There were people that, there's people that when I met them, their skin was gray. And the next thing you know, 5 or 6 years later, they're judging something, or they're judging a program, they're judging a decision, or they're judging something. I'm like, wait a second. You got to look at where you've come from. Look at what God's done in your life. But see, we lose perspective on this. Man, I know what God saved me from. I know my story. And you know what I want to do? I want to part and parcel my story out to you so that it's palatable, so I kind of look like maybe I'm somebody you should be following. I'm somebody you should be listening to, because let me just tell you something, man. There's some chapters of my life that are pretty dynamic. But the body of work, that's all God cares about. God didn't care about the little things that you could Instagram. Man, I'm not Instagramming. I'm not taking a picture of a mess that I made and Instagramming. I made a real big mess of my life today. I've not seen one of those Instagram posts yet. See, so we've got to understand. But let me just tell you, those things, the things that when I've been knocked down and I get back up, that's what you want to, that's what helps people. That's what truly grows people. It's not those pictures of me crossing the finish line and the tape beat across my chest. I just beat Usain Bolt and in a race. And it's like, hey, let me tell you, man, no, you know what? That's not what attracts people to this. You know what attracts people is, once I was lost, and now I'm not. I'm not lost anymore. But let me just tell you, there was a day I was lost. Man, and I'll tell you, see, what's really hit me and where I really want to go, and it started with teenagers. You guys that are parenting teenagers, is one day in his house makes all the difference. You got to get him in his house, okay? It's worth 1,000 elsewhere is what the Bible says. But listen, look at conversely, one day in the world, oh my gosh, can really pretty much suck the life of God out of our kids. But then I broadened that. I thought about it with teenagers first, and then I broadened it, and I thought, wait, me too, except for the grace of God. And what Paul said is, God has graced me for you. God's empowered me to do this. Man, I've had as many doubts about me doing this as everybody in this room put together. So what's the deal? It's because God's graced me. And that by revelation, he made known to me. And listen, and here's the key. By revelation, God made known to us, listen, you, me, and our spheres, the mystery. See, that's where we have to get to most of the church and all of the world. This power we refer to, the dynamics of the Christian life that we have, is a complete mystery to them. They can't figure it out. Man, where it's like, well, I'm going to change how I preach because someone died or it didn't work or because something failed. Well, let me tell you, we can't change what we preach. We just got to preach the word. And the Bible says this, in season and out of season. So if I've got to preach the word in season and out of season, I've got to live the word in season and out of season, right? Does that make sense to you? See, so now I've got to live the word, but by this revelation, and Paul said, look, what I'm writing to you, it's the revelation that God's given me. And I understand it's a mystery to you. See, that's why, if you think about it, that's why, man, it would be like this church, there being big, huge churches with guys with turbans and that are kneeling and facing the east a couple times a day. And that we'd be thinking, wait a second, whoa, what are we doing? Man, those guys are Muslims. They're not Christians. And they're like, no, and Paul would come in and say, no, wait a second. They're born again. They're just like us now. And we'd be looking at them thinking, no. See, that's the understanding. When you look at, man, some of these guys that have been to the Middle East, you look at the conflict at that time between the Jews and the Samaritans, and then the interaction. Do you understand the longest interaction recorded in the Word with Jesus and another person is Jesus and the woman at the well? And he wasn't supposed to ever even speak to her because of the division. So the longest recorded conversation between Jesus and anybody was Jesus and the woman at the well. See, so now we look at it, it's like, wait a second, my opinions and my attitudes have to be able to reflect God's kingdom. They have to. How this revelation, in Ephesians 3:4, Paul writes, it says, by which when you read this, You understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. But the idea of it is that in verse 5, it goes, which in other ages was not made known. Now think about this, because it still works, even though we live in a new and better covenant. And there's still people that live by that Old Testament God, honoring God and loving God and seeking God the way they did it in the Old Testament. Do you understand? It's a completely different, it's not, I want to say it's a new ball game. That it's even more than that. It's a new world for us now. We breathe different air than they breathed in these other ages, as it's been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, verse, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became, this is huge. I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by his effective working of his power. The gift of the grace of God given to me. The gift of the grace of God given to me. See, let me explain this to you. Paul stepped out, began to write letters, began to plant churches, began to raise up ministers, and you know what? The steps of faith that he took, God graced him for it. Right. See, you wonder how you're going to get through the next thing that you're dealing with in life. Okay, let's bring it to a practical level now. What you're dealing with right now, how am I going to get through it? Well, number one, let me tell you take it every day. All right? Well, what's going to be the plan when I get through this? I don't have a plan when I get through this. I'm going to get through this, and it's going to be every day. And what am I going to do? I'm going to take a step toward God with every decision, with every step of my life, I'm taking one. Because that step away from God becomes condemnation, becomes sin. See, so I'm always taking that step today. Well, what's going to be like in 5 months? Don't be thinking about 5 months from now. Don't be thinking about tomorrow is what the Bible says. Man, it's got problems sufficient therein. What are you dealing with today? Because God hadn't graced you for tomorrow. He's graced you for today. Tomorrow, what's God going to do? He's going to grace you for tomorrow. How's this going to work out? I need to know. No, let me tell you something. You don't need to know anything other than there is a pipeline of God's grace that's pouring over your life. And you know, it goes so far, Paul, in the same book, he says, look, I'm, We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, lest we can. You don't get control of God's grace. You just get to be partakers of it. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. Remember when you got saved? You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. It wasn't just fire insurance. God brought you into his family. God connected you to his lifeblood. God connected you to his pipeline. Do you understand when you gave your life to Jesus, when you said, God, I make Jesus Lord of my life, all your needs forever are met. And you're like, well, wait a second, doesn't feel like it. You know why? Because you're not thinking about this as daily bread. You're not thinking about this as daily grace. God is gracing me for this time. God is gracing me with this woman, with these kids, with this situation. And now I'm telling you, it's as simple as that. That he pours his grace, it's sufficient. That's where Paul's going with this. Unless I should be exalted above measure, okay, by the abundance of revelations. Because Paul very easily right now, right here, could have said, hey, God, I've got this. I'll tell you what, I kind of felt myself years and years ago. Remember, Sandy, we talked about this, that years and years ago, I felt myself thinking, no, God, I can pray for him. I know the word. I don't know how we get like that. Man, I'm telling you, this isn't me laying hands on the sick. You laying hands on the sick is not just a point of contact. I'm telling you, what that is that's authority that's been granted to you. You lay hands on the sick, what happens? They recover. It's not a point of contact. What it is it's the authority that you're under that equips you. Listen. With healing in your hands. See, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given me, a messenger of Satan. A thorn in the flesh, lest I should be exalted above measure. So I inquired of the Lord three times, man, God, take this from me. And you know what? And I think what's interesting, we're gonna get to heaven and go, oh my gosh, that's what he was talking about. I don't believe it was his eyesight. I don't believe it was his height. I don't believe it was his celibacy. I don't believe it was any of that stuff. I believe that it was his pride. I believe that it was his ego. That's just how I look at it. Why? Because unless he be puffed up. Because what does knowledge do? Knowledge puffs up. See, most of the guys in here, I'm looking at people, I'm looking at Janelle, I'm looking at Chano, I'm looking at Nina, I'm looking at Corey, I'm looking at, man, we get puffed up, we know a lot. But let me just tell you, man, the knowing it isn't up, man, it's the revealed, the intimacy with God that causes that grace to be alive and active in our lives. And that grace is, listen, for you to overcome no matter what, no matter when, no matter how, no matter who. But what do? We overcome. Concerning this thing, I pleaded the Lord three times that it depart from me. And what did God say to him? God never said no. Man, I'm telling you, religion's gonna turn this around and make this creepy. Where it's like, I inquired of the Lord three times and man, I know God loves me enough to take it. God, you gotta take it. God didn't say no. What did God say? My grace is sufficient for you. Because let me tell you something, in your weakness, you don't have to ever give up. In your weakness, you don't have to ever cower. In your weakness, you're not ever gonna lose. Because in your weakness is made my perfect strength. My grace is sufficient for you. God has graced you for what you're in right now, and you've gotta convince yourself to act like it. See, faith without works is dead. Man, you got to tell your face that God has empowered you for what you're going through right now. Man, you've got to keep this on the tip of your tongue. And let me just tell you something. All the people that flood into the church, there's so many people that don't stick in this church because they come in looking for sympathy. And I'm just telling you, the worst thing you need if you're going through something is sympathy. And you'll go, well, we're uncaring. No. We care too much to identify with your issue. Man, you come in and go, man, they found a tumor. Man, I just had a brother. He contacted me this week. He said, I just need you to be in prayer. I need you to be in agreement. They found an issue on an MRI. I'm like, what is it? He said, they don't know. But one doctor's report is it was bad. It was malignant. And and it looks really bad. Another doctor's report said, man, I don't see it like that. So they're going to get a third opinion. So you know what we did? We prayed. I stood in agreement. I did not ever identify with that issue. And you know what? He came into the office yesterday and he said, hey, Pastor, I just wanted you to be the first to know. He said, I called my wife and I wanted to talk to you. It's nothing. They don't know what they don't know what it was. They just saw it. But listen, and you'll say, well, you know, maybe it was nothing from the beginning. Maybe it was something from the beginning. Maybe that first guy was right. But guess what? It doesn't matter. Because what does God do? God, because of his grace, everybody say his grace. He turns things around in our life. See, we serve a God, understand this, the God that we serve is a God who calls those things which be not as though they were. That doesn't make sense. It's like, oh, wait a second. What kind of God is that? That's a God that's gonna turn everything in our lives, everything in Matt's life, everything since the day I've met Matt has turned into his favor in his life. Everything has. Are you guys dealing with something? Do you have things that try to stress you? You got issues in your life? Yes. But what's God going to do? The way God does anything is what? The way he does everything. If he has turned things around in your life in the past, guess what he's going to do? He's going to turn things in your life now. He's going to make all things work together. Everybody say work together. For good, for your good. Why? Because of favor. He's not going to pluck those things out of your life. Man, you got a thorn in the flesh. What is it? It's to keep you. Listen, the whole idea of this whole thing is that in my weakness is made his perfect strength. It's like I'd rather, what did Paul say? I'd rather boast in my infirmities because God's in me now. Man, it's 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians real quick. You guys can get there. Bring your Bibles to church. Who knows? I tell you, I think they're running that media department from the nursery some days. We got Charleston back there punching things. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation, that's not what I wanted. Is it? It is what I wanted? How do you know what I want? Because it's what I said? Hey, can I go make a point from Ephesians 3 to you? Grace is on you for someone. There's somebody in your life, and I'll tell you, I think I Instagrammed it. I think I texted a lot of the senior leaders. I think everybody even got an email. How many of you guys got an email from me this week, okay? That means God's directed us. God's doing something, okay? There's someone in your life. There's someone within your arm's reach that even if you thought they would never come to church, we don't give up. We don't quit, right? Huh? So that's where we have to be. That's who we have to be. And that is what I wanted, okay? So verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Wow. That goes against everything in me. Everything in me. I'm not showing you my weakness. But God's strength is made perfect in my life. His grace comes into play in my weakness. At my weakest moment, with my biggest adversary. Man, I mean, there's things that hit our lives and we think, oh my gosh, man, I'd rather just cut and run. And we don't, we can't. Why? Because God promised that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Is that amazing? He's like, I got you covered. You know what? The last thing I want to be is strong across the board. And I'll tell you why. Because God has a mandate on our lives to give ministry away. Well, I don't want to give ministry away to, you know, I don't live by the adage, if somebody can do it 80% as well as you can, let them do it. I don't like that. This is parenting for me. This is pastoring for me. But you know what? The key here isn't how well someone can do it. The key is, are you a prisoner of Christ for this situation, for these people? See, what's awesome about this team here, and I'll tell you, they may not be the prettiest. They might not be the strongest. They may not be the fastest. They may not be the most charming. But I'll tell you, those youth guys would die for those kids. Our kids guys would lay down their lives for those kids. Man, these music guys, I mean, you look at a guy like Jeff. Jeff would lay down his life for you. See, that's the key. I'll tell you what this man is here. He's a prisoner of Christ. And you look at this and you think, well, wait a second. Oh my gosh, that's not really going to build my resume. I know. Let me just tell you something. If your resume flew out of your truck window on the ride home, you're still in God's hands. Your future is set. You don't think God knows, man, the next opportunity that's going to open for you? You don't think God's already dealing with your heart, already speaking to your heart that there's something coming up for you? And you know what? What makes it a great opportunity? Well, I'm good enough to do this. No. That even in my weakness has made his perfect strength. I'm trusting God. I'm counting on God. I'm saved by grace through faith. And that not of me. I'm out of the equation now. Why? I'm a prisoner of Christ. And in my weakness. See, you might be here tonight and you might be saying, man, what do I do? I'm in a battle. Here's what you do. You round up all your trust. The trust you put in your phone, the trust you put in your job, the trust you put in your friends, the trust you put in your family. You round up all your trust and you take it to the doorpost of the house of God, to the living God. Say, here's all my trust, God. I'm putting all my trust in you. Now, God, I'm going to ask you to lead me and guide me in all truth. And you know what you might have to do? You might have to get in the Word a little bit. Man, if you're going through something right now, you just get in the Word a little bit. You think, you know what? I want to know what blind Bartimaeus did here. How did what he was facing is probably more difficult than what you're facing. The woman with the issue of blood, what she was facing is probably a bigger issue than what you're facing. It's as big, at least. But what did they do? They put their trust. If I could but touch the hem of his garment. Son of David, have mercy on me. What can I do for you? What do you want that I might see? Man, the four guys that cut the hole in the roof because they couldn't get into Peter's house, and they dropped Jesus. They dropped this paralytic down to Jesus. Jesus said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And he's later thinking, "I don't care about my sin right now. You're the healer." But you know what? Jesus said it because he knew all those critics and haters and judges were in there. Those Pharisees were in there wanting to pick every word that he was going to say. They wanted to pick it apart. And then they come and they say, "Who are you to forgive sin?" And you know what Jesus said? Which is greater, for me to say your sins are forgiven you or pick up your bed and walk? And they're like, "Oh, that's a goofy question. What are you talking about?" He turned to the guy and said, "Your sins are forgiven. Pick up your bed, take it to the house." The guy rolled up his bed and said, "Get out of my way." He had to leave. Listen, a crowded house. He had to get out. A house he couldn't get into, he had to try to get out of. See, so now his issue. See, a lot of you guys, let me tell you something. Lord, just show me something right here. A lot of you guys have had the experience that your sins are forgiven and to pick up your bed, roll up your bed, take it to the house, and you've done that. And now your dilemma is that there's a crowd of people and you can't get out the door easy. You're like, "Oh my gosh, now I can't even get out the door. When is my life going to start working out?" That was for me. That shoe didn't probably fit any of you guys, but that was custom made for me. What God has done for me now, I have zero complaints from here on out. And the Bible says, do all things without murmuring or complaining, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. How many of you guys complain? Can I see your hands? Huh? Half of you. The other half of you are dadgum. You know what you are. How many of you guys complain? How many of you guys complain? Sweet little Sandy, you can complain now and then, can't you, Sandy? I've never heard it. But who are we to, Chris, who are you to complain? Did you raise your hand? Your mom's here. You better raise your hand. Yeah, who are you to complain? You feel me? Figure out some takeaways. Tell them to your friends, because I'm done.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.